Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
So good. So good. You guys, man, it does my heart good every month to hear what God is doing. And some I know and many I don't. And that's just the beauty of it is I love hearing testimonies where God's working in like 2-3 layers deep. And at the moment, we have no idea what's going on. Sometimes we're just trying to hold on for the ride. As Nan and I shared the roller coaster ride, she doesn't like any part of the roller coaster, the up or the down. I don't, you know, I like the down. But anyways, roller coaster ride of life, sometimes that's all you're doing, right? All you can do is hold on. But when God reveals pieces of people that were from past in life or different things going on, it's just really, really good to see. So today we're going to continue on and finish our series, the I Am. This is Jesus' I Am statements. We've talked about three of them. We're going to talk about a fourth one today. Just kind of finishing, wrapping this up, let me just briefly remind you where we've been. If you remember the first one we did, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he said this to Mary and Martha as Lazarus had died, right? Their brother had died and he was about to raise him from the dead, but he was recognizing some things in their life, some dead ends that they were dealing with in that moment. And just like Mary, Martha, and others, we have dead ends in our life. And we have a God that it's not I was the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And he certainly, as we just heard today, God is still resurrecting dead parts of our life to make them new again. The second one in the series, we looked at I am the good shepherd, as Jesus is the shepherd, and that makes us the sheep. We talked about that for a little bit, and while that's uncomfortable, it's very true. We wander our own way. We get lost. We get ADHD moments, you name it, bright, shiny things we follow. We need a shepherd like Jesus who guides us, who protects us, who provides for us, and yes, even sometimes corrects us. And then the last one we looked at, the one we looked at last week, I am the light of the world. And we talked about how Jesus' light is hope. Even though the law, the sin in our life reveals guilt, God's love reveals grace, and we're so thankful for Jesus' light that reveals hope in our life. Well, today we're going to dive into one more in John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, we find Jesus teaching the disciples sort of in that in-between. We're not actually sure, was it in the upper room, wasn't it, or was it on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane? But at either rate, the Last Supper had finished, and Jesus was going with 11 of the disciples, and he's teaching them this one last thing before the cross. And in verse 5 of John chapter 15, this is what he said. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, excuse me, I lost my place for a second. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the source. Today we're going to look at that verse, we're going to look at that statement, I am the vine, unpack it a little bit. What did it mean to the disciples? What teaching was Jesus doing here? How does it apply to our life? There's really two questions we're going to address, and then we're going to give some marching orders, hopefully some encouragement as we go. But I want to pray for us before we jump in today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the testimonies of these people here today that shared with us. And God, thank you so much that Jesus is the vine. He is the source. He is where we're to remain and abide. God, I pray that you be with us today and you open our hearts and open our minds to what you have for us. God, I pray that the words I speak would not be mine, but would be yours. I pray, Lord, that they would uncover things that need to be uncovered. They would encourage things that need to be encouraged, but also challenge us, Lord, to press further in and further up into your loving arms. God, we thank you for everything. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first question we're going to look at is, why is being connected important? And so I'm going to attempt to do an object lesson here. And I know the children are gone, but this is for the adults. So I have a picture I think that should be in there. This is a picture from a tree out back, right? So fortunately it's growing leaves. It's unfortunate when they fall in the fall. But at any rate, this is a tree, and this tree is alive. And it's just a reminder. It's one of my favorite things about spring is it's like that new start. Life returns. Things that appeared to be dormant, appeared to be asleep during the winter for preservation, you know, like trees lose their leaves to kind of protect themselves and last through the winter. But then when they start budding, we see life. We see evidence of life. I've got a branch here that I cut off just this morning, not from that tree. That's pretty tall. That'd be crazy. Just from a bush out here. But this one is cut off from the tree, but it's got leaves on it as well. And so you might look at this and go, this branch is alive. And there's some truth to that. I'm not going to get into the science. But at any rate, what we do know that because I have cut this branch, what is going to happen to the leaves on this branch? It's going to get brown. It's going to die. It's going to fall off. This is going to get all crusty. And it's going to start to look kind of like this branch that's been cut off. It looks very sad, right? No leaves, nothing going on here. This one's been dead for a while. Now, the problem is trees and bushes, plants, they need a source. And they need to stay connected to that source. So like a tree, the branches, the leaves that are on the farthest extent of the tree all connect through the tree, eventually to the ground, and connect to the roots, and then the roots give the water and the nutrients, and all those things rush up there. And so the problem is that this might look pretty, kind of like flowers we get for our wives or for our girls. They look pretty for a while, but eventually they die out because they're not connected to the source. Even though they kind of look like they're still alive, eventually the truth will come out, and they'll end up like something like this. And so this idea kind of sticks in my mind because when Jesus was talking, he used this connection point. I am the vine. Some theologians, commentators believe it was because they were walking on the way and they crossed past vines. Maybe that's true. Others would just say, no, this was a common understanding. This was agricultural community. They knew what vines were. They knew what this meant. And so when Jesus made that statement, I am the vine, they would have understood what it meant. Well, Jesus is teaching here, and in John chapter 15, actually these last few chapters in John, it's amazing the Gospel of John devotes a good portion of his gospel to those last couple days or hours of Jesus' life. And this is one of those instances. And so in the midst of this, Jesus is teaching. He's giving this final instructions. And so we're looking at this question, why is being connected important? In John chapter 15, verse 1, it kind of just coming back to the beginning of this, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So he says, I am the true vine. Okay, so they understood what vines were, but he's saying, I am the true vine. So what is Jesus getting at here? Well, he's answering this question that we have, but what he's pointing to is that he is the true vine, he is the true source. So he's implying that if there's a true vine, then there's probably what? A false vine, a false source of energy. And I think we realize that in our life, we all have choices, right? We all have choices on what we're going to do, how we're going to respond. And the reality is that as followers of Jesus or non-followers of Jesus, we all have a choice. Where are we looking to for our source? Where are we finding our meaning? Where are we finding our value? And I think if you look around, you talk to enough people like I have, you realize that many of the issues in people's life, not all of them, but many of them, come back to that central point. Where is their value? Where are they looking for their value? Where are they looking for their source, their driving force, that energy, the provision? And that's really where it comes back to. If you're searching for the false, you have your mind in the false vine, you might actually look to prestige, influence. That's a big one today, right? How many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are on Facebook, YouTube, and all these things trying to be an influencer? You know, they're trying to be an influence. They're getting their energy, their motivation from that being an influence in someone else's life. And in and of itself, that's probably not necessarily a bad idea as long as your source is correct. But the problem is many times it's not. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's your job. This is a big one for guys, right? So many times the first question that comes out of our mouth when we talk to someone or meet someone is, so what do you do for a living? What's your job, right? I mean, that's a natural thing. Guys are wired to be providers. They're wired to be workers. Not that women aren't, but that's where we tend to find our value a lot of times. So we do that. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's not any of that. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's people in your life. That's your source. Again, not necessarily a bad thing. Like I think about as a father and a husband, my source is my family a lot of the time. Probably almost everything I do because I'm trying to have an influence and be an impact in their life. And so that's not necessarily a bad thing. But again, where is my source? Where is my source? Maybe it's success. Maybe it's other people. Maybe it's things. You know, you heard that phrase, who he who dies with the most stuff. Oh, wait, still dies. But we try to accumulate stuff, right? We like to have toys. We like to have four-wheelers. We like to have cars. We like to have, you name it, you fill in the blank, whatever it is. Not, again, not that any of those things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but the question again comes back to what is your source? And so Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. Down in verse 4 of John chapter 15, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So in that, we see the first reason of why being connected is so important. It's because staying connected bears fruit. Staying connected bears fruit. And it's not necessarily the fruit, the leaves, but it's showing that by seeing this life, it's giving evidence in our own life that we are bearing fruit. And by the way, godly fruit, good things that produce good fruit in our life. You know, many times I've said, if you want to know the character of a person, you just hang around them long enough and watch the fruit, if you will, the output of their life, right? I've tried to instruct and show my kids that as they're growing up, the older ones looking for spouses and down the road, maybe way down the road, I don't know. But anyway, to look at the output. You want to find someone, number one, that loves God as much or more than you. You have to pair yourself with someone that loves God, or else it's going to be a train wreck, that loves you deeply and that has good fruit. Has good fruit, right? Does it make sense what I'm saying? When you want to pair yourself with someone, you want to buy friendships because, not buy friendships, but have friendships. The same thing is true. Look at the fruit of the people that you hang around with, because unfortunately, the Bible tells us that bad character corrupts, you know, good people. So you can go in with the best intentions. You can go in with the best hopes and dreams. I'm going to make this person better. I'm going to bring them to the Lord. Well, you might, but unfortunately, a lot of the times, bad character corrupts good people. Stay connected bears fruit. See, a part of this is realizing Jesus, he's going to get down to this later, is that you are to be set apart as a follower of Jesus. You're going to look different, act different, be different. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives us what I call the fruit test. In Galatians chapter 5, we see that there are a couple examples here. Number one is fruit of the sinful nature, or fruit of what life apart from Jesus might look like. And then the second part gives you fruit of the Spirit, or of a presence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And by the way, there's a big difference. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, we see the acts of the sinful nature, or the fruit of the sinful nature. And it says, he says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Verse 20. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, what Paul is saying here, that if that is what is the prominent fruit in your life, there might be some thinking to do and asking God to reveal what's in there that needs to be changed. Because Paul doesn't mix words there. He says, if this is what your output is, then you can't be in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God sent Jesus to die on a cross for us to pay for our sins. But God is also a just God. So coming back to him, The second part of this is the fruit test that shows the fruit of the Spirit, starting in verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I can tell you that when those types of things come out of this body, out of this person, you can rest assured that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You might be like, but Pastor, you're a really good person. Maybe, depends on who you're comparing me to. But the Bible says anybody who sins is what? Is fallen short of the glory of God. And the result of that is separation. So anytime there is goodness that comes out of my life, anytime there's goodness that comes out of your life, it's an evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be careful too. I'm not saying perfection. You ain't never going to be perfect. That's good language right there. Homeschool parent, way to go. Do as I don't even know. Anyways, you aren't going to be perfect. You can't be. In fact, that's why scriptures tell us that once we're saved, once we come to a saving relationship with Jesus, it says to work out your salvation. In other words, it implies that there's going to be effort there. You're going to have to notice. You're going to have to surrender parts of your life to God that He can work this all out. But the goal, the hope is that we have an upward trajectory, as I say, and it's more directing more towards God. And the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to reveal about your character that needs to be surrendered. And what's incredible is that just like this branch that's cut off, sometimes we can fake it pretty well. We can put on the smiley face in church. We can say, oh, it's good to see you, brother. I love you. I hope you have a good week. We mean well. It's not that we don't mean well, but then the question is during the rest of the week, sometimes we look a little more like this. And so that's what Jesus is getting at, that you are going to face hardships. There's going to be trials in your life. Hold on to me. I am the true vine, because staying connected bears fruit in our life. Well, the second reason why staying connected is so important is that we already saw a little bit of this, is that if we're disconnected, nothing good comes from this. So in John 15, verses 5 and 6, I'll read 5 again and then continue on to verse 6. Jesus says, I am the true vine, you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and buried. Being disconnected produces nothing. Harsh, right? Jesus, so keep in mind, you got to remember, Jesus is in that final moments that he has on earth before he comes back from the dead, obviously. But in that moment, he's going to go to the cross. And he knows the disciples are going to face tremendous persecution in those few period of hours. He knows they're going to, at times, run from God, but they come back. And he knows that in the midst of this, he's telling them, listen, stay connected with me. And I don't think that it means necessarily that anything you do is necessarily bad. It's what it's looking at is the eternal perspective. We can do a lot of good things on this earth that have absolutely zero impact or zero reflection of eternity. And sometimes we spend an awful lot of time accumulating things and doing good things here. And again, do good things. God has called us to be good into the community, loving people. But listen, if that's your only motivation, if you're not doing it as connected to the vine, then it's going to fail. It's not going to go well. It may seem like it goes well for a while, but eventually this will come back to us. And having these priorities, having this kingdom mindset, this eternal perspective on what Jesus is trying to get at here is incredibly important. Now, I do want to let you off the hook a little bit here. The disciples, they didn't get it either. And they had been with Jesus for these 3 years. And just like many of us, until we see that Jesus, until we have that Jesus moment, theirs was probably the resurrection. That's when they came back. But his teaching is true nonetheless, and we will be held accountable for the things we do. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we'll be tested. You know, in the end times, we'll be tested when we go before the throne. Yes, there's that initial judgment where God's going to ask you, and I don't know if he'll ask you. He already knows, but this is in my mind what might happen. Makes a good cartoon. God asks you, why should I let you in? And the only answer is Jesus, right? If you try to give him any other answer but Jesus. Oh, this is quiet. That means everybody's listening. That's important, right? If you give him any other answer but in Jesus' name, not getting in. And I don't know if this is a downer day or not, but I hope that that just brings you back and realizes this is why Jesus says, stay in me, stay in me, stay in me. Because worldly pursuit is a false vine. And this world, especially this country, is all about what have you done for me lately? What have you produced? What have you contributed? Like, and in the end we go, I didn't do nothing, but Jesus did. Jesus did, and we need his strength, and we need to stay connected to him. You know, last week, I shared a little bit about some of my heartbreak for many of these prominent Christian leaders that have fallen, and it just breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart because I know that that is a tool of the enemy that's using to draw people away from him. But what I also realized as I was thinking about this message this week is that being apart from the vine produces nothing or produces ungodly things or produces worldly things perhaps. Being connected is our source. And if we're connected to Jesus, if we're staying close to him, there's going to be fruit in our life. That's one positive. But the second thing that's amazing is that I can't tell you how many times when I've been closest to the Lord and something has come across my desk or a job or whatever, and there was a choice to be made. And I think, this seems interesting. But something in my soul said no. It sounds good. It looks good. It might, you know, might produce money. It might all these things. And something in my soul said, no. Sometimes this happened in high school. You know, you're hanging out with good people. Good people don't always do good things. Ben always did. He hung out with me, but Ben was always good. But he knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes there was a group of people that we ended up at their house just hanging out. And something told me they were going into the garage, and something told me, I don't think you should go, just don't go in there. It's time to leave. And it was about time when I told my parents I was going to go home, but I could have fudged it a little bit. I could have gone in, and something told me no. Well, it turns out there was some underage drinking going on, and God protected me from that moment. And you might say, oh, Gary, are you sure? I'm like, yes, 100%. And this has happened in other parts of my life. And again, this is not putting me up on a soapbox because I could tell you just as many mistakes that I've made or more. But there's time in your life when you feel like you just have a premonition. The Holy Spirit is putting something in your life. And I think that a close connection with Jesus, kind of that other byproduct is, yes, it produces fruit, but it gives you discernment and it protects you from things that you might not be able to say no to on your own. Because we all have our thing, right? We all have something that trips us up that we struggle with more than others. And the scriptures tell us, you know, won't be tempted beyond what you can bear, but God will give you a way out. And I always say, yeah, tempted beyond what I can bear with the Holy Spirit, right? You need that Holy Spirit, but God will give you a way out. Staying connected with Jesus will help you in this way. Friends, I can just tell you this, when I look around at all the moral failures across this country, and by the way, I'm not sure there's any more now than there were years ago. I just think it's more popular to point it out. We live in a society that says, oh, you screwed up. I'm going to put it up out there for the world to see. That's just how it is. But the point is that we need Jesus. Can you agree with me on that? We need Jesus every single hour of every single day. But by the grace of God go I. Lord, keep me from making stupid decisions and harming your character, even though I know I can't harm his character, my mistakes in a society where I know a lot of people could bring others to question their own faith, and I never want to be the hindrance for that. What's the priority? The priority is staying connected because it bears fruit, and being disconnected produces nothing. So the second question then is, how do we stay connected to the vine? How do we stay connected to the vine? Let's look at verse 9 and 10. John 15, verse 9 and 10, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So catch this here. Jesus is telling us, listen, obey my commands. Remain in my love. Keep my commands. Jesus said love. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit, because the world says love a lot today too, and they don't mean the same thing. Keeping the commands of Jesus. What did Jesus' teachings, what did he say when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love God with everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all you are and love people. Love, love, love. Okay, let's continue. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. As I have loved you. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to love? Like Jesus. Well, let's look at just a couple of the examples I've talked about in this series. In John 11, we saw Jesus' love was real for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, wasn't it? His love was real. He loved them. In fact, it says what? Jesus wept. Jesus was fully human. Yes, fully God, but fully human. He had those emotions. That's why scriptures tell us that anything we're tested with, he was tested with. You know, all these things have come. There's nothing new under the sun. The sin is the same as it was back in the day. It might look a little bit differently, but anyways, Jesus loved Mary and Martha. He loved them enough to show them through this passage. The second one, the good shepherd. Jesus is like a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He loves us. He guides us. He provides for us. He protects us. Yes, he even corrects us. And then last week we looked at John 8. Oh, Jesus showing the love, the mercy, the grace of God to that woman who was caught red-handed in adultery, brought in and said she should be stoned. And so they asked Jesus, what should you do? I love Jesus. He writes on the ground. He kind of thinks about it. He knew what he was saying. I think he was doing it to irritate them. And they said, what are you going to do? And he goes, he is without the first sin, cast the first stone. Goes back to writing in the ground, and they leave. And the woman goes, he asks them, where are they at? And she goes, they left. And he said that I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. Talk about the love and the mercy and the grace of God is on full display. Full display. And that's the same mercy and grace that's offered to us as well. But let us not forget that Jesus is in the midst, heading to Calvary, heading to a trial, heading to abuse, whipping. And he realizes, he knows that life is going to get difficult. And can you relate to the fact that sometimes life comes at you fast? You see lights in the out there and you're like, oh, it's the light at the end of the tunnel. Only to realize it's a freight train heading straight for you and you don't know what you're going to do. How many of you have been in a situation where you felt like that? You felt like, I just can't get out of this. Life is going to get hard. Well, Jesus understood this. Jesus was in his final hours. We know that shortly after this, he sweated drops of blood because he was so intensely not worried, but he knew what was coming. He was eager. He even said, God, if there's any other way this can happen, please let it be. But then he says, but not my will, it is yours. And so in this moment, before that, Jesus tells him these verses in verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Verse 19, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remaining in Jesus doesn't mean things are going to be easy. Doesn't mean that you're going to be without difficulties. What it means is in the midst of those difficulties, he's there right beside you. He loves you. And we can hold on to that. Remaining in him is critical. So how do we remain in him? That's the question. The question here in the personal application, the answer is we remain in him by spending time with him. If I told you I had a really good friend, but I never spent time with him, what would you think about our friendship? Now, I'm not talking about like distance, right? I got friends that I don't see all the time, but I connect with on a regular basis. They live in New York or Pennsylvania or other places that have been friends for like 30 years, which is really hard for me to say. That means I'm older than that, pushing 50 downhill slope. But I'm talking about friends that you say, these are really good friends, but you have no connection with them. Well, with Jesus, it's the same idea. It's like walking around pretending you got it all together, but if there's no connection, eventually this is going to fall apart. So how do we do that? Well, the simple one, and I'll just give you simple takeaways, is we need to be in our Word. We need to be reading God's Word. We need to be studying it, memorizing it. But if you're not reading it, let's just start with reading it. Let's just start getting, I believe this book, the Bible, has more power to change your life than anything I could ever tell you. Anything. This Word, God's Word is going to change your life. But you need to remain in him. And now, I don't know where you're at right now with your Bible reading. Maybe you've got a good plan going. You've been very consistent. Keep going. Don't just kind of tune me out for a second. But if you're struggling or you've fallen away, maybe here's a simple way you could start. 15 minutes. Call it the first 15. If you're an evening person, we'll call it the last 15, right? You'll do it at the end of the day. If you're a lunch person, maybe we'll call it the middle 15. It doesn't matter what you call it, but take 15 minutes, commit to regularly, consistently reading for 5 minutes, regularly, consistently praying, listening to God, and then third 5 minutes, some form of worship. If you're a music person, pick a song that you like. Start with that, get your heart going, read what God's word is, and then ask and pray and say, God, reveal in this message these words, what you have for me. And then the important thing is we have to have a goal, right? So that's your first 15. The second, I think that's really important, is that you commit to a time. Now you're going to say, well, Gary, that's just because you're a very organized, linear person. Probably so. But what I do know is in my life, as an adult, as a parent, as a father, as a pastor, if it doesn't get scheduled, it doesn't get done. That's just the reality of life sometimes. So we want to build, especially if you haven't done it before, or you haven't done it for a while, it hasn't been a part of your regular rhythm. So find time, make time, commit to time. And then the third one I always say is a place. Now, it might just be where you wake up in the morning, and that's great. If you can do that, pull your Bible out, read from bed, that's great. For me, it's I got to get my butt out of bed. And I go downstairs, I make some coffee, and I listen or watch the video that goes with the sermon or goes with whatever I'm doing at that point in time, but I spend that time reading God's word. Part of that is prayer. And you're like, well, I don't know how to pray. That's okay. That's okay. Let's use the word pray, P-R-A-Y. We can praise God. We can repent or turn to him, anything we need to turn over. We can ask him for stuff, and then we're going to yield to his will. So maybe the last part of your prayer is, God, just open my heart and lead me. The third part is, and I'm glad this was mentioned during our testimonies, is relationship. If the only time you crack open your Bible, you try to pray, or you talk to other Christians is on Sunday morning, it's not going to be enough. We need to find time in our Word by ourselves regularly, praying regularly, but we also need other people. Every single one of these testimonies that was shared today, which was not scripted, by the way, talked about connections of people in their life. People that were praying for them, showing up for them, being there for them. All of those things are critical because we're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. We're meant to do this as a community, as a family. And so that's super important. Maybe it's a small group. Maybe it's a texting group. Maybe it's a battle buddy, accountability, whatever it is. Find someone that you can build a relationship relationship with and start from there. And by the way, if you don't know anybody else or you're like, I don't know someone who might be good, then talk to myself or Pastor Dan and we'll get you connected. We'll help you get connected to somebody. Here's what I know. My spiritual muscles need worked out on a regular basis. I know, my physical muscles do too, but stop picking on me. Going to the gym every other day. But anyways, your spiritual muscles need worked out every day. Here's what I know about things. The more I work at things, the better the result is. The more consistent I am, the better the result is. So if I want to be closer to God, I've got to be intentional. I've got to take time. I've got to read. By the way, a study was done, just to give you an anecdotal evidence, probably about 8 or 9 years ago now, but tracked the number of times people read the Bible in a week. Okay, what they found was that if you read the Bible 1, 2, or even 3 times a week, there's some difference, but it's negligible. But when you read the Bible 4 times a week or more, for some reason, there is something powerful about that. So make a strive, make a goal, get back to reading God's Word, remain in the vine, stay connected to Jesus. So our response here at the end, Jesus is the true vine. My question to you is, what is your response? We need Jesus, I know that. But my question for you is, do you recognize it? And are you living that way? Are you making, are there changes that need to be made in your life to be remain connected? You know, the words remain, abide show up 10 plus times in this passage. So I think it's important that we understand showing up and connecting with Jesus on a regular basis is what's going to change your life. And then finally, that leads us to do what Jesus did. Jesus said to be obedient to his commands and to love others. But what does this mean for you? What does it mean to love others? Well, a couple of ideas that I thought of, and maybe some of these hit home for you, is this. Maybe it means sharing the gospel more boldly. Maybe it means pounding the gates of heaven in prayer for a loved one who needs to know Jesus. Maybe it means living generously with incredible generosity. Maybe it means opening your heart to a close relationship. I don't know. Love obediently. Maybe it means seeing others as Jesus saw them, not as the way you portray them. Ones that are loved, that were created in his image, and that he went to the cross for. And what's so amazing about all of this is Jesus continues to work in and through his followers. So maybe there's somebody in your life that you've been cutting off, that God is saying, I think you need to look at this one again. Look at this one again. One thing I want to leave you with is this. We're heading into summer, although today it feels cold, but it was nice all week. But it's getting better, and some things we're going to do, we're going to have some new and exciting things that the church is going to be doing this summer that are different to kind of leverage that warm weather, that nicer weather. If you've been here for a while, we're going to be doing Vespers again with a twist. We're going to have a couple other things that are on the docket that I don't want to share just yet. You'll have to come back another week. We're also going to be having a children's program. Miss Nettie is going to be doing that again this year, and we'll start getting that flyer out next week. So excited about that. But here's the thing. We're in a season where beauty and creation is all around us on full display. Now, I know it's always there, but for some reason, summer just feels different, doesn't it? It feels like, this is where I would rather live all the time, but I'm in Ohio, so it's not going to be that way. But I like the summer. In Psalm 19, these verses just hit home to me this week. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge." See, everything around us, the creation, is God's greatest statement to all of the world. I love you. Look at what I've created for you. Look what I've done. Now, I realize as humans, we booger it all up. But let us say, if you've gotten off track recently, because we've come through the doldrums of winter, You know, you're looking forward to spring. You're looking forward to summer. Maybe today is the day that you get back on track. Maybe today is the day that you pick up that Bible again and say, I'm gonna read this every day, or I'm going to do my first 15. And then what I'm going to challenge you as we go through the summer is that it doesn't just stop there. Maybe 15 becomes 30. Maybe 30 becomes 60. Maybe 60 becomes 120 minutes. I don't know, but finding time in your schedule, what I do know is that there's more time in your schedule than you realize. Yes, we all have 24 hours. Yes, we all, a lot of us, some of us work, right, Dad? Not all of us. You are retired, but some of us work. We have kids. We have family responsibilities. We have all these things. We've all got things in our life that are important. My question is God's word more important? So we're going to challenge you with that. As the worship team comes to lead us in this final song, maybe today, remaining and abiding in God is just coming back to Him and saying, God, I need you. God, I just want to be with you. Would you hold me? Would you bring me back into your fold? Would you wrap your loving arms around me? God, I need you. Maybe that's you today.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.